Well, I give you permission to open the Bibles. Page 1044, you can see the words written down, and you can see whether there were big chunks that you missed out, or were there, did you get everything? It's page 1044, and it's Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Luke chapter 12, it was a bit unfair just now, because I'd had a few days to think about that passage, and you hadn't, so I know that. But I wonder if you have a quick look at that passage, whether there were bits that you missed. Did you get everything? And the question I've got for you, for everybody, all ages, is was there something in the story that stood out for you today? Was there something that jumped out at you as we read it, as we heard it, as we spoke it, as we listened to it? Was there something particular that jumped out for you today? Would anyone like to tell me something, Sandy?
Yeah,
Yep. Okay. Thank you. Yes, you never know when you're going to go. Okay. Anything else from anybody else? Sally?
I think that always the words "you fool."
You
fool. I immediately think, yes, that's me. No, that's
right. Me. Okay. Excellent. I've got three things, that's one of them. So perfect, thank you. Let me tell you the three things that jumped out at me from this passage. And I haven't got a PowerPoint, I need a human PowerPoint. Could you help me? Yeah? Okay, JJ can help me. Brilliant. So here's the first slide of my PowerPoint. Can you hold that really, really high? So the first thing that struck me about this story is this question mark in this speech bubble here that JJ, slide one of our human PowerPoint this morning. Because the story starts, doesn't it, with a question. You see that in verse 13? Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Well, actually, it's not a question, is it? It's a command. Here's a guy saying to Jesus, "Tell my brother to sort the money out." It's not a question. It's a command. And here's a man who has been waiting probably for hours, a bit like JJ feels now, he's got his arms up, waiting for hours to see Jesus. In verse 1 of chapter 12, there are thousands of people there. It's a huge crowd, like a football stadium kind of crowd. And this man has pushed his way right to the very front of that crowd. And here he is, face to face with Jesus, this man who has been spoken of by thousands of people, who's some say is the Messiah, who's been performing amazing miracles. Could this man be the Son of God? What is he going to say when he meets Jesus? "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Sort out our family argument about money. It's mine. Give it to me." What a ridiculous thing to say to Jesus. And yet, the reason I've got a question mark here is this. Can you hear yourself in this man's statement? Can I hear myself in this man's statement? How often do our prayers collapse into this kind of telling God what to do? "God, give me what I want. Do this or do that, and do it quick." Now, I don't remember much. JJ, how old are you?
Six.
I don't remember. I was 10. I don't remember much from when I was 10, but I remember one thing. I remember being in my bedroom at home praying. And I prayed this: "God, help me pass this exam and I'll do whatever you want." Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? It didn't work out. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Well, you're basically telling God what you want, and you might do something for him if he does what you want. That's what this man was doing, wasn't it? Saying to Jesus, "This is what I want you to do." And perhaps there's a question mark there, because we might find ourselves in that person. And Jesus says to him, and says to his disciples, he says to him, "Who appointed me a judge between you?" That's a strange question for Jesus to ask, because we know, don't we, that Jesus ultimately is the judge of all people and of all things. But I think here, Jesus is saying, this isn't why I came. I didn't come to sort out petty money issues between your family. No, I came for what's in the next verse. In verse 15, "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Here's the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem is the heart. Life is not about the stuff you own. It's not about the car you drive. It's not about the house you live in, the job you do, the food you eat, even the holidays you go on. These things are not life, and we need to learn this, don't we? Well, Jesus told us a story. Slide one is done. So do you want to put slide one down? Are you done too?
No.
You're going to do slide two. He's a warrior. All right, so slide two. The second thing, so the first thing that struck me about the story was that the first thing the man says is a bit silly. The second thing, if you'd hold that up so everyone can see it, is the story that Jesus tells. And in the story, there's this one phrase which really jumped out at me. What shall I do? You remember the story? There's a rich man, and his harvests of all his ships have come home. So everything has gone right. He's got massive harvests. He's got loads of stuff. And he asks, what shall I do? I've received an unexpected bonus. I've received an inheritance. I've found a £1 coin by the canal. What shall I do with this unexpected thing that I've received? He had a choice. This man. We have a choice. The rich man in the story chooses, what does he choose to do? Tear down his barns and build bigger ones. He's going to build bigger barns, store up his stuff, keep his crops together for years to come so he can sit back and take life easy. Now, what shall I do? He asked. What could he have done? He could have chosen to give that food away, to feed the poor, of whom there were many. Many people were living hand to mouth, month to month, year to year. This rich man could have given away that food. He could even have sold it. That would have been better than keeping it for the years to come. But he chose not to. That's my second point from this story. What shall I do? The choice that man had. We come to the last one. You ready for slide three? Slide three is straight from Sally. This is what jumps out at me, the third thing. You fool. God says to the man, you fool. Verse 20. 20. Now it sounds a little bit rude, doesn't it? That God might call someone a fool. But you see, in the Bible, a fool is someone who ignores God. Lives their life ignoring God. If you read Proverbs, that's what a fool is. Someone who ignores God. Someone who looks for security in stuff, not in God. And here's the big question for us this morning. What about us? What about us? Whatever age we are, whatever background we come from, what about us? What is the choice that we have? And you might be thinking, I don't even own one barn. I don't have loads of stuff lying around. I don't have this problem. Or maybe you don't have any barns. But every single one of us has 24 hours in each day. We have gifts and skills that God has given to us. And yes, we have things that we possess. We have money. We have clothes. We have somewhere to stay. And even before we're faced with an unexpected bonus, an inheritance, the £1 coin we found by the canal. Even before we get those unexpected things, we have the question, what shall I do with what God has given me? Shall I choose to live generously or to live greedily? Will I choose to keep what I have to myself or share it with others? And here's how Jesus ends this parable. Verse 21, he says this, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. You see, in the Bible, the opposite of what JJ has here, the opposite of being a fool, is to be rich towards God. And what might that mean for you, for me, here this morning, to be rich towards God? Well, many of you will know about the biblical practice of tithing, where we give 10% of whatever we have, whatever we receive, we give it back to God. So if we find this £1 coin by the canal, we'd bring 10 pence to God. And if we received £100 bonus, we'd bring £10. And if we received a £1,000 inheritance, we bring £100. And here's the great thing about tithing. It's not the amount of money that's the thing. It's the percentage of what we had to begin with. Being rich towards God. We can be rich towards God in our time. We're looking for people to join our place of welcome team. How many people do we have, Myra?
Seven.
We have seven. We need three more people to commit their time once, twice a month on a Tuesday morning to be here opening a church as a place of welcome. Being rich towards God. It may be inconvenient, but being rich towards God with our time. Committing to being here on Wednesday for one of the prayer meetings. Being rich towards God. And our Bible passage this morning, and JJ is very, very strongly still holding that up. This warning to us. Let's not be people to who God is going to say, "You fool, you lived your life ignoring me." I don't want to be a fool. And in a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to respond in prayer and say to God, "Yeah, I don't want to be a fool. I want to be rich towards you," perhaps in a very specific way in these weeks and days to come. But maybe just before we get there, some of you might be thinking, we're being a bit harsh on this rich man. He was just worried about the future. He was just worried about, well, will I have enough for next year? Will I have enough for the year after? So he was being quite sensible and storing things up. We might be thinking that. Well, that's exactly what Jesus goes on to address in verse 22, the passage after the one that we read today. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore," because of this story that we've heard today, "therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will wear." Do not worry. Jesus knows, God knows, that we are prone to worry. And perhaps one of the things that holds us back from living generously is not so much greed as worry. I was thinking this morning, maybe greed and worry are two sides of the same coin. One side, I want more. The other side, will I have enough? Greed or worry? Jesus says, do not worry. Therefore, do not worry. And whether it's greed or worry that might hold us back from living generously, Jesus is challenging us this morning, I think, to be people who will say, yes, I want to live my life for something that will last.